Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday in Phoenix. John Gambadoro and Jordan Bird filling in for the vacationing Dave Burns, the ever vacationing.
There
Dave
we
Burns.
Go. It's yes. Like old times now.
Yeah, he had. It was the last week he was off for like 3 days, and now he's off today, and then he's off all the next week. We are back. Things are back to normal. Burnsy's on vacation.
Yeah. For an extended period of time, not just a day here, a day there. I mean, he's gone today and all of next week. It's a Dave Burns style vacation.
Like a week or two ago, he was off for what, 3 days, 4 days?
Yeah.
Normalcy. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
That son's final run is something that he's going to keep in his back pocket for like the next 2.5 years.
Yes.
You remember when I stayed and worked and canceled my vacation as
you
I want more
me.
Vacation days? Yeah.
You
yeah.
owe me. Anyway, I got done with that White Lotus show.
Okay.
And so I kept seeing these previews for the show called Coda. Have you heard of it?
I thought it was a movie.
It's
a movie.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't know it was. I thought it was a TV show. And Chelsea's like, this is a movie. It was fantastic.
Now, that's about the deaf family?
Yes.
Okay.
Children of deaf adults, right?
Yes.
It's a girl whose mother, father, and brother are deaf. And it was absolutely sensational.
I'm pretty sure I saw a feature where the father in that movie is from the Valley. Either from here or he lives here. Yeah.
Okay. That was such a great... I was like, I got done with that. And I was like, wow, that was really freaking good.
What platform was that?
It was on
Netflix?
Apple TV.
Yeah. Apple TV. Okay. I'll
Apple TV,
out.
Coda. And it had an old song from the 60s that I loved.
Oh. Well, that's why you loved it.
I did love it. Like, the main song in the show is a Joni Mitchell song called Both Sides Now. Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now. I loved that song. It's such a good song. And I was telling Chelsea, like, this is a really popular song, like, you know, 100 years ago. But it was such a great song. So I really, like, I enjoyed that part of it. Like, that was a big part of the show, was that song.
So any screenwriters or directors out there, if you're looking for Gambo's seal of approval on a project, just make sure the soundtrack is in that 60s, 70s era.
I'm telling you probably Please. Never heard the song, but it's a Joni Mitchell song called Both Sides Now, and it was a big part of the movie. So
okay.
That's my recommendation.
Another thing to check out.
Go watch Coda. All right, so my recommendations for movies this weekend for you is not our top story of the day. Let's tell you what is our top story of the day.
Burns and Gambo, The Weigh-In, brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
All right, we're going to go back to the weather update. I know Bigley and Murata were making fun of the fact that I did not know what the green screen was. What are you laughing at? I didn't know.
I think that blew Vince's mind that you did not know.
I didn't know. I thought it was just that they projected a video of like a picture of it and you pointed to it. I didn't know it had to be a certain color.
I think Bickley and Murata there are being a little bit of media elitists. I mean, how many of the normal people that
Bickley.
Don't work in the media know that how it...
I assumed that was widely known.
Yeah, but especially once like again, we went to school for this type of stuff.
Dan Bickley, the award-winning columnist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's quite a few other people that did not know the inner workings of how the weather map is displayed on the local news.
Tweet us at Burns and Gambo if you didn't know what a green screen was or how it worked before yesterday.
Well, I mean, Vinny knows what it is because Vinny knows what everything is. Vinny knows everything. Yeah.
The condescension
in your
voice.
Knows absolutely everything about everything. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he knows. All right, the top story of the day is what's going on with the Cardinals. The Cardinals and the Saints game has been moved up by 7 hours to noon, but I think it's still in jeopardy, right? There's a state of emergency in New Orleans right now. I'm reading right out of the New Orleans paper. It says a potential change had been in the works since Thursday. The Saints said in a statement that team officials were in contact with the National Weather Service, Homeland Security, regarding the safest approach. We're waiting for more definitive information pertaining to the projections for the storm. So there's this big storm that is going to hit that area on Sunday for sure. But they're also saying Saturday evening, the winds are really going to start to pick up. But what they're also saying is they want everybody hunkered down on Saturday, not Sunday.
Yeah, the mayor of New Orleans, actually, LaToya Cantrell, issued earlier a mandatory evacuation for residents in the low-lying areas outside of the levee system. So you have some mandatory evacuations that are being put in place. It does buy time because you mentioned it the other day. And I think this is still accurate that the main crux of this, which is now being elevated to a hurricane, it's now Hurricane Ida,
yes,
is supposed to hit about 8 o'clock p.m. New Orleans time. And so if you now have a 10 o'clock or back there, that would be a noon kickoff time. That gives you, an 8-hour window to play a game and get out of Dodge.
And you got to get out. You got to get out before those winds come. I'll give you my my weather knowledge as I continue to get smarter and smarter on this. You ready?
Absolutely.
The storm becomes a hurricane when it sustains winds reach a minimum of 74 miles per hour. That would qualify as a Category 1 hurricane. A Category 2 hurricane, the winds have to get up to 96 miles per hour. And then a Category 3, it would have to get to 111 miles per hour. To get to Category 4, you've got to have winds of 130 miles per hour.
Well, just to tag on to that, for some context.
How about that?
Hurricane Katrina, that was a Category 3 storm. So
yes, winds of 111 miles per hour.
That just gives you some context of what we're looking at here. Mike Triplett, who was the Saints ESPN reporter, he was on with Bickley and Murata earlier today, and he thinks even though there's all these hurricane warnings, mandatory evacuations, he still believes tomorrow's preseason game will be played.
Obviously, things could potentially change, but the storm is expected to make landfall on Sunday night. So, it's not the kind of thing where I think it would move up by 24 hours or anything. So that seems like pretty safe that they'll play the game and then clear everyone out of there so they have time to get everyone home on Saturday and get out of town if they want to.
So they feel like getting that game in early tomorrow. So the kickoff in New Orleans was originally scheduled for 7 p.m., and now they are moving it up by 7 hours, so it'll be noon. So here it'll be 10 a.m.
10 a.m., yep.
So 10 a.m. tomorrow, you can record it or watch it, but the Cardinals will be playing the Saints tomorrow. Right now it's still scheduled to be played tomorrow at 10. So, just something so people are looking forward to the game. You're thinking you're going to watch it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? No, or 5 in the afternoon. Instead of 5 in the afternoon, it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning, that game. If the game goes on, I think the game will go on. They obviously made a schedule change unless they get more pertinent information that, hey, we can't play this game.
And I don't think that we're going to be, the NFL, the Saints, the local government officials, they're not going to allow this thing to go off if there was any sort of imminent danger. And so you hear Triplett say that things aren't supposed to hit until Sunday. That gives you an even broader window than what we initially were thinking to get out before things start getting bad. What's interesting, though? This is now the second consecutive year that the Cardinals have had some sort of weather calamity that they've had to deal with at the beginning part of their season. You have Hurricane Ida for the last preseason game. If you remember back at the beginning of the regular season last year, there was some real question whether the Cardinals and 49ers were going to play because of air quality.
Yes.
Due to the Northern California wildfires.
The fires, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty crazy that in two consecutive years you've had these type of situations.
But I remember being in California when those fires were going on, sitting outside a restaurant and having ash fall on my food.
Oh, yeah.
No, I
it's snowflakes.
I was in Coronado last year, and we're just sitting there. We're outside at an Italian restaurant in Coronado just having dinner, and, these particles are falling into our food, into our glasses.
Yeah.
It was just nothing you could do. It was just the cloud, the sky was covered with ash and the ash was falling.
Yeah.
So if you were having dinner outside in California at that time last year, it's very likely, you know what I'm talking about, there was ash falling on you.
Yeah. And there was some real concern about whether you could play an NFL game in that type of air quality situation.
Could you breathe?
There was a lot of people that I know that saw, hey, why don't you just cancel this preseason game? And if things were a little tighter in terms of when the hurricane and the storm is really supposed to hit New Orleans, I think I would be in that same category as opposed to trying to relocate it or something along those lines. But there's still, as you and Bernsey have highlighted throughout the course of this week, although probably not for the majority of either roster, but there still is some things to be played for tomorrow morning now between the Cardinals and the Saints.
Yeah, there always is, right? I mean, there's always that. You know, we've talked about the depth on the roster and trying to get some guys some more reps. And what are you going to do with that third and fourth running backs? I said yesterday that I do not think this game has any meaning for Andy Isabella. Mm-hmm. I think Andy Isabella has made this roster based on the four practices he had this week, based on the fact that A.J. Green's on a one-year deal and Christian Kirk only has 1 year left. So I think that Andy Isabella is on this roster. I don't think that anything happens tomorrow affects him. He could have two drops. I don't think it affects him. I think Andy Isabella is on the roster, so I don't think he's affected. The right guard spot, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to continue to practice with Murray and Winters and Josh Jones. But I think that Josh Jones right now is one of the top offensive linemen they have. And I think Josh Jones, I'm going to expect that he's going to start at right guard for the Arizona Cardinals. So I don't know that I see a whole lot to gain in this game. I mean, it's some reps for some of the younger guys. Rondale Moore's not playing. Kyler Murray's not playing. There's going to be a lot of guys that don't play in this game. So I just don't know really how much the Cardinals. Now, the New Orleans, I don't. Maybe they've got something to play for. Maybe they've got more roster spots. I don't know. But I know for the Cardinals, I don't think there's very much going into this game that we're really going to be focused on.
Additional tape, additional film. That's what a lot of these guys would be playing for.
For the players, for the players, sure.
Jonathan Ward mentioned that earlier this week, that even if, you know, yeah, technically he's in a, you know, a position battle, a competition with Eno Benjamin for the third running back spot. But beyond that, you're trying to put together good tape so that you can try to win over another team if you are so happen to cut by the Cardinals. You can text us your thoughts on the Arizona Cardinals ending their preseason and what you're looking forward to for the regular season. You can do that by texting the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. The Arizona Diamondbacks, it's been a struggle of a season, but man, what if they could have played the Philadelphia Phillies every game? That's coming up next here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Clubhouse Call-In with Burns and Gambo. Presented by American Telephone, your partner for cloud communications, serving Arizona for over 30 years. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is the Clubhouse Call-In here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Alongside Gambo, Jordan Bird filling in for Burnsy. We're expecting a phone call from Diamondbacks first baseman Christian Walker here any moment, as the Diamondbacks beat the Philadelphia Phillies last night in the City of Brotherly Love 8-7. Although it wasn't easy, Gambo. That ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth, five runs by the Phillies after they were trailed 8-2. And a lot of it was just unforced mistakes.
Yeah. Self-inflicted. A bad error by Christian Walker, a bad error by Dalton Varsho, a passed ball. I mean, they just did themselves in. I mean, they're up 8-2 in this game. You got it in the bag. And all of a sudden, I mean, you know, you walk the leadoff guy in Luke Williams. Then Jankowski reaches on the error by Walker. Galvis then hits into a force out. That's a run. Andrew Knapp then reaches on an error when Varsho simply just dropped the routine fly ball. I mean, right there. And then Segura struck out. You got two outs. You're like, okay. But then Harper hits a two-run double. And they change pitches. Noe Ramirez comes in. Real Muto walks. A pass ball moves the runners up. Didi gets a base hit to make it 8-7. You're like, oh, my God. They got the winning run at the plate. It was just 8-2. And now they've got the tying run on base and the winning run at the plate. Thankfully, it was Brad Miller who can't play. And he struck out. He's been terrible for them. I mean, absolutely, he's the guy replacing Rhys Hoskins. He struck out with the tying run on free. He went 0-for-5 with three strikeouts. He's batting .213. And he's 8-for-57 with 20 strikeouts this month. He's terrible. So that was the right guy to have at the plate at that time because he can't hit right now.
That game just kind of indicative of how this season has gone, that even though when things start to look positive, when things start trending in the right direction, you have just a lack of focus, a lack of attention to detail, and the team almost trips that game up. The other thing, though, that's funny about this is I know Philadelphia is not some sort of world beater or anything like that, but the Diamondbacks are now undefeated against the Phillies so far this season.
Hey, 4-0 against the Phillies. And, like, really just, you know, they swept them last week at Chase Field. I mean, the Phillies are basically a .500 team fighting for a playoff spot, and the Diamondbacks are, you know, really taking care of them. They've outscored them 21-13. They've held them to just 21 hits in those four games. It's about five hits a game. So Zach Gallen did a nice job. He did a really good job yesterday. Finally got a win. It's nice to see him finally. That's only his eighth win of his career. I'm baffled by the fact that Zach Gallen only has eight wins in his career.
You mentioned that yesterday, and that really is
unreal.
It is. And now, granted, you have a season where there was only 60 games, so the opportunity is a little mooted there. But this guy has been just known for not having any sort of run production or run a backup, and that's indicative. And just eight wins now, and this is his fourth season now in the major leagues? Yeah, fourth season that
Fourth season he's got eight wins. He's averaging two wins a year.
That's
insane. Think about that.
Yeah.
How many games has he pitched in?
He has started 44.
And he's got eight wins.
Yep.
I mean, you just think of Zach Allen as being a guy that's been around for a little bit. Not a lot, but just you would think the guy's got to have more than 8 wins. And he just gets a lot of no decisions. But either way, that was a good win for them to get that one. I know, you know, Torrey was ticked off after the game because you don't want those 8-2 games to turn into 8-7 games.
We're going to be joined by Christian Walker here any moment. But quickly, another piece of Diamondback news today. The Diamondbacks placed Asdrubal Cabrera on waivers. And very quickly, he was picked up by the Cincinnati Reds. According to John Heyman, this was a move in part to do Cabrera a solid and get him on a playoff contending team.
Yeah, it's there's no reason for the Diamondbacks to play Asdrubal Cabrera. There's just no reason. He's a 35-year-old guy. You know, he's got there's no future for him here. I mean, he's hitting .244. He's got 21 doubles, 7 homers, 33 walks, and he's a switch hitter. Hasn't done much against right-handed pitchers this year. He's only hitting .221 against them. But you know, the Reds get a veteran guy to try. You know, it's been in big games before. And for the Diamondbacks, it's an opportunity to continue to play more of the younger players.
Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, he had a career-high 4 hits last night in the Diamondbacks' win over the Phillies. He was back home, and apparently his mom's meatballs are all the rage. Diamondbacks first baseman Christian Walker joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Christian, you got Gambo, Jordan here. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys?
Good. I'm not going to lie. I was in Italy last month, so I mean, I know a thing or two about meatballs. Is your mom Italian? It's the first question I got. Is your mom Italian?
Yeah, definitely. Her whole side is. We're pretty watered down at this point, but at one point, the name DiVincenzo is on that side of the family, so they're in the thick of it for sure.
All right, so the family recipe gets passed down from somebody that came from Italy.
Yeah, eventually. I know my mom's mom taught her. My mom taught me. To be completely honest, I'm not sure how or where it started exactly, which generation, but. I know it's been in our family for a long, long time.
That's pretty cool because I got the same thing. There's a meatball recipe in our family that goes way back to Sicily. It's a very, you take the meatballs. You actually cook the meatballs in the sauce. So that's a special way that my family does it is they cook the meatballs, not in the oven, but in the sauce. But I guess they were a big hit. It probably felt good for you to be back home and have your mom's cooking.
Yeah, it's great. That's selfishly, that's how it starts. I'm just looking for some home-cooked meals for myself and my mom. Being my mom and loving to cook for people, and she's been a team mom my whole life, so any opportunity to cook for people or cater or anything like that, she jumps on it. So started as like, hey, make me a little container of meatballs, and next thing you know, she brings down three catering trays worth of them for the team.
Oh, that's fantastic. How did it feel? I know there was a lot of family there, an aunt, a sister, your grandfather. How did it feel to play in front of your family?
Yeah, it's great. It's literally a dream come true. You know, I've been playing in front of them. They've been rooting me on and cheering me on my whole life. So to play here in Philly, and you know they're the ones that used to take me to this park when I was growing up, and you know I remember sitting in the stands with my grandfather and my parents and stuff like that, and to be on the field and to play here and to be playing against the Phillies, and I know how much Philadelphia sports means to the people in this area, and my family, and I grew up in it, so it's honestly a dream come true. It's great.
You know, I go back a little bit further than you, so I remember when Larry Boa was the shortstop and Greg Luzinski the bull and Mike Schmidt. So I remember a lot of the old Steve Carlton, a lot of the old Phillies. What was your team? Which team did you grow up rooting for?
So when I finally got to an age where I really like understood the game and could like cheer them on and pick out favorite players, it was. A lot of like Pat Burrell, Bobby Abreu, Chase Utley, J-Roll, Tome, Ryan Howard, Lieberthal. I guess that was like maybe a handful of guys over maybe like 2 or 3 different waves. But that, that time frame was when I was cheering them on.
We're speaking with Diamondbacks first baseman Christian Walker here on our clubhouse call-in. Spreading it out towards the team, looking at what you guys have accomplished over the last couple of weeks, you guys are 9-5 in your last 14 games. It all started in that homestand when you had San Diego and Philadelphia come into Chase Field. Has there been anything that you've noticed team-wide that has maybe changed over the last couple of weeks that has translated into you guys being a little bit more successful in the win-loss column?
You know, to be honest, it wasn't. It's not necessarily like an active, you know, thing where it's like a conscious, you know, game plan that we're all buying into. I think we're just, you know, everybody's executing more along the lines of what they expected out of themselves. You know, on a day to day basis. I know me personally, it's been, you know, kind of a tough year for me. So to, you know, to feel like I'm help contributing to some wins and you know, getting jobs done for my teammates and picking people up. It's you know, it's big. So I think this is just the way we've kind of envisioned it all year, but you know, for whatever reason, it's just taking some time to show up.
How does that work in conjunction now with we're starting to see a little bit of a youth movement, younger guys getting called up from the minors, guys who have been getting more spot starts, getting a little bit more playing time. We saw the move, the transaction today of Asdrubal Cabrera. This team, the roster is in a little bit of flux as you guys are starting to find your rhythm. How difficult is that to continue that rhythm when guys within the roster, guys within the lineup may be changing here and there throughout the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both sides, to be honest. You know, I think, you know, the guys who are playing and doing well and picking it up a little bit, they want to keep playing. They want the at-bats. You know, you don't show up to the park every day and work as hard as we do without, you know, without wanting and you know, you're like needing those at-bats. It's something that's just a part of, you know, what's in us. But in the same sense, it's, you know, I can come up with an angle where this is probably a better environment for guys to come up and get their first taste of the big leagues. You know, now the team's winning, the clubhouse atmosphere is a little different, a little lighter. And, you know, you want guys to come up and fill into a winning team, you know, see how they respond to that versus like, you know, coming up and them feeling maybe like we're expecting them to get this team back on track or, you know, putting too much pressure on themselves or, you know, you just want people to have a real taste of the big leagues. And, you know, big league baseball is fun. It's a dream come true. And, you know, winning at this level is infinitely, infinitely better than anything else. So just to, you know, hopefully they fill into that and that becomes the norm for them. That would be ideal.
All right, Christian. Well, thank you so much for taking a moment and joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. And I don't know, maybe start looking into some merchandising possibilities for Mama's Meatballs there.
Yeah, at least some t-shirts or something.
Exactly. Christian, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's Diamondback first baseman Christian Walker joining
love
us here.
You got a family recipes being passed down from generations? No?
I'm glad my mom is not listening right now. Not a great cook.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
now my now that I think about it, we do. My brother kind of a connoisseur, and he likes to dabble in all sorts of different stuff. He makes an incredible jambalaya.
A jambalaya.
Oh, man. And this thing, like, simmers for, like, 8 hours.
But nothing that
hours.
Goes back to, like, your grandparents,
No.
Your great-grandparents.
Nothing historic like that, no.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Jambalaya for tomorrow's game. Let's go.
Well, yeah. If it was a home game, yeah, that would be the tailgate menu.
Absolutely.
My mother taught my wife how to make sauce and meatballs.
Yeah.
So you gotta, like, that's, like, the one staple. Like, you gotta, like... And that just gets past, that goes all the way back to Sicily and stuff.
You mean I can't learn to make a red sauce by watching Goodfellas and Godfather, all those mob movies,
no,
how they make
learn,
their sauces?
You could learn some stuff from watching that. They put a lot of the... They put a lot of the meat into the
slice the garlic with a razor blade.
They put the pork bones and everything into the sauce. They know what they're doing.
Coming up next here on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals. We're just right around the corner from the regular season. So what do some of the national media members expect from the Arizona Cardinals when it comes to wins and losses this season? That's next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, it's time to introduce our Twitter poll question of the day on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo show. Alongside Gambo, Jordan Bird filling in for Dave Burns. And now we turn things over to Sarah Cazell. Sarah, how are we doing today?
Fellas, doing great. How are you both?
Good.
Good.
It's Friday.
Weekend's here.
Yeah.
I got the Diamondbacks are playing well. Cardinals have a game tomorrow, we think.
College football starts tomorrow.
Oh.
That's right. Five games this weekend.
Tomorrow's my anniversary.
Oh.
Who had the under on 5 years? Come on, raise your hand. Who had the under? We outlasted. Funny. Anybody who had the under? Bear, you had the under?
Gambo, that's actually our secondary poll question today coming up.
Who had the under? She'll probably kill you. But.
I just like how the Diamondbacks being on a roll takes a precedent over your wedding anniversary.
I'm just saying, anybody who had the under at 5 years, we're gonna beat the under.
Yep.
Yep.
Looks like we made it.
Yes.
Shania Twain all day, baby. Gambo, fun fact.
Yes.
Your wedding anniversary is my engagement anniversary.
No way. So you got engaged on the 28th.
There you go.
So How about that? To celebrate tomorrow.
Yes.
We made it a year.
Yes, you made it. I'm 5 years married to Chelsea.
Maddie?
Congrats. I mean, that's longer than anyone else here in this studio right now.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got the longest run going.
Yeah, you do. It's all just
Burnsy's not here. Yeah. He's been married for 40 years.
But, well, yeah, his entire life.
That's like any streak. It's dependent on what you're comparing it to.
I'm going on three.
Hey!
Look at you.
This was my third year.
Yeah. See, you're in the second pole position because I'm like 2.5.
Yes, we're, 5 years ago right now, it was 10:30 at night in Italy, and I was going to sleep. And I was going to get married the next day.
Wow.
In Lake Como.
Memories.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exciting.
So what are the poll results on Gambo's length of his marriage?
55% of our... I'm kidding. We're talking about the Cardinals in our poll question. You guys are about to get into this further in depth. But Sports Illustrated is making predictions for the 2021 season, and expectations are not terribly high for the Cardinals. 6-11. Is what they predict for the Cards.
Ooh.
Friendly reminder, 17-game regular season, 6-11 is what they're predicting. So we're asking, what are you guys predicting? How many wins do you expect?
Okay, give it to me.
Here are the ranges. 0-4 wins, 5-7 wins, 8-11 wins, or 12-plus.
8-11, all day, every day, 8-11.
Right in that sweet spot?
Yeah, I'm in that same category as well.
Okay, maybe we should have broken the numbers down a little bit differently because 72% of our voters went with 8-11.
Yeah, 72. Somehow 8 and 9 should have been separated by 10 and 11.
Yeah.
It would have been really, that would have been interesting.
72% say 8-11 wins. 19% are going 5-7 wins. 6% say 12-plus. 3% think 0-4.
Okay. All right, that's the poll question. You could... vote for the poll question on the Burns and Gambo page, sponsored, of course, by Sanderson Ford. Go online at sandersonford.com or visit them on 51st Avenue in Glendale for your next vehicle.
Well, we have the Cardinals in that 8-11 win range. Okay. Connor Orr of SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com. Today, he predicted every game in the 2021 NFL season.
Okay.
This is something that Sports Illustrated has done for years. It used to be helmed by our old friend Greg Bedard.
Greg Bedard, who once predicted that the Arizona Cardinals were going to lose, was it 10 games in a row?
Yes, something to that. It was double digits. I can't remember the exact number. Yeah.
Like they were going to lose 10 games in a row.
And there were some questionable games in there that, like, really? You think the Cardinals are going
to
lose that one?
Completely off base. It wasn't even close to that.
I think it was the year that they ended up going to the NFC Championship game.
That was the year. He had him losing 10 games in a row. They went to the NFC Championship game.
Well, this year it's Connor Orr who takes over the duties.
Oh,
and
Connor.
Drum roll, please. He has the Arizona Cardinals coming in at 6-11.
Oh, man. I go through the games.
So he has the Cardinals beginning the season with a 2-1 record. He has them losing at Tennessee in week one.
Okay.
Then back-to-back beating Minnesota at home and Jacksonville on the road.
Okay,
I think that's all very reasonable.
I could see that.
Then he has them losing 5 out of their next 6 in what is a pretty brutal stretch. Losing at the Rams, losing at home to San Francisco, losing at the Cleveland Browns, coming back home and beating the Houston Texans, which isn't saying much, losing to the Green Bay Packers, which is a Thursday night game, and then losing on the road at San Francisco. So he already has them by week 9. Losing to the 49ers
twice.
He's
got them losing both games to the 49ers and a game to the Rams right there.
He's got them losing to every single NFC West opponent.
He doesn't have them winning one game against the NFC West.
0-6. And that's a big reason why he has this record at 6-11.
Listen, they always split with. They always at least split with Seattle, don't they?
I mean, split with Seattle.
Cardinals pretty good at splitting with Seattle and at least winning one or two against Seattle. The only kryptonite is the Rams.
Yeah.
They can't beat the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, what is it now?
I mean,
is
I know Cliff likes to talk about his boy Sean McVay, but your boy's beating your ass.
Yeah. Kingsbury, or Sean, I should flip that around because it extends even beyond Kingsbury. Sean McVay has never lost to the Arizona Cardinals as the head coach of the Rams.
No. How many games is it? 7 or 8 games?
I was going to say, I think it was 8.
I think
you play him twice each season, and if he's been there 4 years, 8
so
would match
eight
up.
Wins, right.
Yeah. I agree with you about the NFC West thing. I think, you know, the stuff with the Seahawks is always weird, always random. There always seems to be a win in there somehow, some way. On the flip side of things, with the San Francisco 49ers, I'm not completely sold on San Francisco and thinking that, you know, it's automatic that the Niners, you can chalk it up as two wins against the Arizona Cardinals this year either. I think that those are possibly in-play games as well.
I look at the schedule, right, and I think if you predict the Cardinals to win, to lose 11 football games, you're really, really down on them. You're really – they added J.J. Watt. They added A.J. Green. They had a good draft class. Their quarterback's a year older. Like, what – they won 8 games last year.
Arizona sports. Breaking news.
All right, guys. Breaking news from the New Orleans Saints.
All right, here we
go. Tomorrow's game is canceled.
I figured that.
From the Saints' official website, due to the impending impact of Hurricane Ida on the region – it has been canceled.
All right, let's turn our attention to that. Great breaking update there. Hurricane Ida to be catastrophic Category 4 storm affecting most of the Louisiana Gulf Coast. That is what's in the New Orleans Times-Picayune right now. They're expecting a devastating hurricane. That game has now been canceled. There will not be a third preseason game for the Arizona Cardinals. I imagine they didn't even get on the plane to go to New Orleans. And this... based on the information that's coming out of New Orleans on just how dangerous this Hurricane Ida is, this is the right decision.
There's evacuation.
This is the right decision.
There's evacuation orders in place in the city.
State of emergency, too.
It's hard to imagine that there would even be many fans if they had played the game, if the conditions were able for them to have it. If you have an evacuation in order, people are getting out of town. They don't want to hang around for a preseason game.
This is the latest. Most of South Louisiana, including New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Lafayette, could see catastrophic effects from winds as high as 140 miles per hour, storm surges high as 15 feet above ground level, and almost 2 feet of rain accompanying a Category 4 Hurricane Ida as it makes landfall south of Morgan City on Sunday.
Category 4 now?
Category 4 is what they're saying. Yep.
Remember, we were talking earlier, Hurricane Katrina was a Category 3.
This
is a big one.
This is what who knows the eye of the storm, but this is what's in, this is what they're reporting in the Times-Picayune, the major paper in New Orleans right now. They're just a lot of concern. There's a state of emergency. We talked about this yesterday, just based on what we were reading. I don't think, it didn't make sense that they were going to play the game. Because they're telling people to evacuate, they're telling people to hunker down, they don't want anybody out on Saturday. They don't want people out. So now you're going to have a football game and invite people to a football game, doesn't matter the time.
Yeah.
They want you home, they want you prepared, they want you...
or evacuated,
they
town.
Want you evacuated, yeah.
So, once again, the Cardinals-Saints game, which had earlier today been moved from a 5 o'clock Arizona start time to a 10 a.m. start time, has now officially been canceled. And I think it goes without saying that we wish the folks of South Louisiana all the best in what potentially could be a very rough weekend coming up for them.
Yeah, there is an evacuation list for a whole bunch of areas, mandatory evacuations at about 4 areas in New Orleans that are trying to get people out right now.
Coming up next, we'll turn our attention to the Phoenix Suns. For years and years, there have been rumors that maybe he could come to the Phoenix Suns. Well, after this NBA trade that went down earlier today, could it finally come to fruition? That's next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back into the Burns and Gambo Show on this Friday edition. Jordan Bird in for Dave Burns alongside Gambo. And the NBA offseason now. Forget about the NFL. The NBA offseason never ends.
Never.
We had a trade today involving Lauri Markkanen, a guy who has kind of been remaining out there.
Yeah.
His options really dried up, it seemed. But earlier today, he is part of a 3-team trade, a sign-and-trade. He signed with the Bulls, then was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Portland Trail Blazers were involved as well. So the Cavaliers are going to get Lauri Markkanen. They send Larry Nance Jr. to the Portland Trail Blazers and a second-round pick to Chicago. Portland trades Derrick Jones Jr. and a lottery-protected first-round pick to Chicago. So a lot of moving pieces.
Big win for Portland, right? Portland gets Nance Jr. They're desperate to improve. They get a good player there. I think Portland wins. What do they give up? They give up a, a first and a second and
a lottery protected
pick, and they give up a player who's your ninth or tenth best player.
It's a good addition.
Derrick Jones Jr.
It's a good addition because I would have loved Larry Nance Jr. on the Suns, but it's not a game changing piece. It's not like all of a sudden now Portland is
They're better,
they're still in a tier below, I think, the top teams in the West.
But they improved. I think Portland wins this trade by getting Nance Jr. I think Cleveland comes in second. But it depends on what kind of deal you get Lauri Markkanen for. Yeah. I mean, the reason they got rid of Lauri Markkanen was the reason the Bulls got rid of him is they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay Lauri Markkanen. So they get a first and a second and a solid ninth or tenth player on your bench. That's what they get. So I think, you know, Bulls didn't want to pay him. The big deal is now, does Cleveland pay him or not? That will ultimately determine, you know, who wins this trade.
Well, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the sign and trade portion of this for Lauri Markkanen is signing a four-year, $67 million contract.
So 15, 16, that's 17 a year, 16, okay. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
But they didn't want him. Chicago didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting $16, $17 million a year. I still think Portland's the winner here, getting Nance Jr., Cleveland second by getting Lauri Markkanen. And the Bulls did the worst because they just didn't want to pay him, but they get a first and a second and a bench guy for him.
Now, maybe the more fascinating part of this trade, at least for us here in Phoenix, is the domino effect. And what that does for the Cleveland Cavaliers roster, who still has Kevin Love on that roster. Many people are expecting him now to be released by the Cavaliers or shipped out of Cleveland. You go on Twitter, Laker fans are already signing the contract of him joining the Lakers with Westbrook and LeBron. But for us, Gambo, I feel like it's a question you probably have been asked on social media for the last 8 years. Is Kevin Love coming to Phoenix?
If he gets bought out, right, if they buy him out and you're signing a guy to a minimum deal, I mean, there's no harm there, right? There's no harm there. But here's the thing people need to realize. He can't really help you, okay? It's not like he is such a defensive liability. And people, oh, you can get him at power forward. He can't play power forward anymore. He's a backup center in this league. He can't move. He can have a small role on a team and maybe help someone. Look, Team USA, don't buy what you read, him opting out. They didn't want him. They didn't want him.
I got the quote from Jerry Colangelo right here.
Go ahead.
It didn't work out. He wasn't in shape, and he was way behind, as it turned out.
Yeah.
So you move on. You call it a mistake. Call it giving someone an opportunity, someone who had equity with us. Guys who play for us get a little bit of a plus.
He wasn't going to play. I mean, they didn't want him, so he opted out. Listen, it's not the end of the world if you sign a guy to a minimum deal, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to help anybody to get Kevin Love. It's not going to help you. The NBA, and you can say, oh, can he guard a power forward? It doesn't matter. The NBA is all about switching and pick and rolls. When Kevin Love gets out there, you find a way to get the mismatch on Kevin Love because he can't guard anybody. The whole league, he can't switch and he can't rim protect. So this is not a good player. I know everybody wants these names, but you know, he's not a guy you're gonna run him into every pick and roll. When he's on the, it's what happens now. Watch a game. You run him into every pick. Oh, Kevin Love's on the, get a pick and roll with Kevin Love. Get a switch. Well, now you've got your guy on Kevin Love, and it's like taking candy from a baby. Because he can't move. He can't move. He is a major, major defensive liability. And James Jones has said that he wants defensive players for this last spot. You signed Kevin Love, that would go against everything he believes in.
I think that's a great way of putting it, is that people are enamored with Kevin Love because he's Kevin Love. He's a guy who was a former All-Star. He's a name, as you mentioned. He's a name. He's not, you know, some of these other players that have been talked about, and it's like, oh, well, who was this guy? Well, everyone, if you're a basketball fan, knows who Kevin Love is. But he is so far removed from being the guy who he once was. He's a shell of his former self.
Yes.
And so you're getting a guy that does not fit in with what the Phoenix Suns are trying to do.
I don't get it. I don't get the how many people.
Because he's
ask
a name. That's what it is.
Yeah, he was a name how many years ago?
I know, but he's a name. I guarantee you that's the reason why this is. The guy hasn't done diddly poo in the last 3 years.
Nothing.
So why else besides being Kevin Love would people be questioning or be excited about the potential? I just don't think he fits at all, especially with where this team is at right
this guy,
now.
One guy said, everyone said the same thing about Blake Griffin, and magically he was rejuvenated. I'd welcome Love. Blake Griffin is so much better than Kevin Love. He can defend. He's got strength. He can defend. He can guard you with his strength. He doesn't have the same athleticism as he had years ago when he was with the Clippers, but he's still a strong guy that could defend with strength. And he could shoot the three a little bit. Look, Kevin Love knows how to shoot. He knows how to pass, and he's got a good basketball IQ. Okay, I'll give him that. He knows how to shoot. He knows how to pass, and he knows how to play the game. So he's not a total nothing. But if you're looking for a guy that could defend, he can't defend anybody.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin can defend players. Kevin Love can no longer defend players. If you said, hey, we need a player that could pass and shoot, okay, he can help you there. But he is a major, major defensive liability.
Don't forget that you can text Sparky to 62620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we will be giving away college football tickets. All you got to do is text Sparky to 62620. They're going to be entering into their third year together. Is time running out for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray together here in Arizona? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.